Marketing is everywhere. From the billboards on the highways to the notifications on your phone, we are constantly bombarded with people trying to sell us stuff. What makes good marketing? Are you doing enough in your life personally and professionally to market yourself? You have questions, and the Marketing Mad Men have answers. Search the Marketing Mad Men on Google or your favorite podcast provider to get practical marketing advice from expert guests who are shaping and reshaping the business world. They say marketing is a madman's game. Join the Marketing Mad Men every Saturday at 4 p.m. to find out why.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download the Fan app.
Marketing is everywhere. From the billboards on the highways to the notifications on your phone, we are constantly bombarded with people trying to sell us stuff. What makes good marketing? Are you doing enough in your life personally and professionally to market yourself? You have questions, and the Marketing Mad Men have answers. Search the Marketing Mad Men on Google or your favorite podcast provider to get practical marketing advice from expert guests who are shaping and reshaping the business world. They say marketing is a madman's game. Join the Marketing Mad Men every Saturday at 4 p.m. to find out why.
Tonight in Arkansas, there's a mother tucking in her daughter and turning off the light. A business owner is burning the midnight oil. An at-home dinner date is plating up possibility. And it's all happening under one roof. How? The power of a conversation, like the one John from Integrity Solutions had with First Horizon Bank about his vision for a sustainable mixed-use building. Now it's not just words, it's life. First Horizon Bank, let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/John. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
We are just a little more than 24 hours away from the draft getting underway, and we will be live at Harris Cherokee right there in the Caesar Sportsbook. Come by, join us. Grab your room, drive on over, book it at harrischerokee.com. We're going to walk you right up to the Braves and the Marlins game three of the series that the Braves look for the sweep tonight with Raylo, Ronaldo Lopez on the mound against Sixto Sanchez. Now, we'll cover some of yesterday's action. Then we'll get ready for the draft by hearing from Terry Fondo. So the Braves do go for the sweep tonight. They have blanked the Marlins so far in two games. They've outscored the Fish 8-0. Last night was a 5-0 win, which was all about Maximum Fried. That was the Max that we've all fallen in love with for several years, who was just dealing.
May not see a better pitching performance in the bigs this year.
I was kidding yesterday on the show when I said, Max has got to up what Bryce Elder did, the 6 2/3 scoreless. Well, he did by pitching a complete game, 92-pitch gem in an hour and 53 minutes. And any time you throw that few pitches and the game is over in 2 hours, we all refer to it as a Maddox. That's an old, like I used to do post-game at the old radio station at 790. And the Wednesday night games used to start early. When Maddox would pitch, I know I'd be on the air by 9.
Yeah, the time thing is an oddity. That's just weird. And the pitch clock certainly brings that back into play. But it was Tanner Houck last week, and we mentioned that if it's a shutout, complete game shutout, just you, 99 pitches or fewer, you get a Maddox, and it's a rare thing, man.
I thought it was understood, except in the post game when the media asked Snit about that thing called a Maddox, he wasn't on the same page.
I didn't understand anything you just said.
Oh, this is his third Maddox. How special has it been?
Third, what he said?
Oh, just like
Under 100 pitches.
Oh.
Shutout
under 100 pitches. Oh. Just how special has it been to see these three shutouts he's had this career?
Yes. I didn't know what you meant by that.
Assist from Wiley Ballard. You heard the wheelhouse right in the middle of that. Under 100 pitches.
But Maddox the first time, Maddox the second time, used Maddox a third time, and then finally said, so the shutouts, how excited about the shutouts have you? He's like, I'm not going to get him around on the Maddox thing.
I love Snit. I really do. The line for Freedy was beautiful. 9 innings, 3 hits, no runs, no walks, 6 Ks.
29 batters.
He induced 17 roundouts. That's when Max is cooking. Strikeouts are great, but you can be efficient and have 8 pitches, 10 pitches, and get out of innings quickly. Max did that. Now, the Braves have back-to-back shutouts in this series. I read this note from CJ Nikowski, which I think is great. So the last time the Braves threw back-to-back shutouts and didn't have a walk in either game happened in 1998, and the first part of it was Greg Maddux. The second part, Kevin Millwood. Each threw complete game shutouts against Pittsburgh. Before that, it happened 91 years previous to it. So it happened in 1998, and it happened in, 1907. That's how rare it is what the Braves have done the last couple of nights. Now, if they're able to do it again tonight, all they have to do is pitch a shutout and not walk a batter. It would only be the second time in the history of the game it's ever happened. The Dodgers did it in 1988. Oral Hershiser, Tim Belcher, who threw complete games against Houston, and then a combo of John Tudor, who threw six innings, and the great Alejandro Pena finished off with three innings against Cincinnati. That's the only team who's ever done it, so who knows? Maybe some history tonight if Raylo and the bullpen can get it done.
He's been the most consistent and really good and consistent starting pitcher the Braves have had so far.
He's got a shiny 0.50 ERA.
Fabulous.
I will mention as a little add-on, the Reds are the only offense who have ever been shut out and not drawn a walk three straight games. Happened in 1989 when Pete Rose was the manager. You can fill in the blanks. The Braves offense last night, it wasn't even an extraordinary day. It was just typical. Hit a long ball, get your five or six runs, bunch of different contributions. So last night, Travis d'Arnaud stayed hot. Thank God. I did not want the blame if he went 0-for-4 and struck out three times. He nearly hit another homer. He finished the night 2-for-3 with a double and a rib. Michael Harris went 2-for-4 with a double and a rib. And Adam Duvall went 2-for-4 with the home run and two RBIs. So here's the deal.
By the way, Duvall had not been really hitting. He had that early pop, and then until last night, so good for him.
So again, still no Sean Murphy, although it sounds like he's getting closer. No Ozzie Albies, sounds like he's getting close. Spence is done for the year. Matt Olson's in the worst slump of his career. Austin Riley's not much better, and you're 16-6, and the offense is leading all of baseball. Have fun, folks. Because you know Matt will get right, and you know Austin will get hot, and Ozzie will come back, and Sean Murphy will be back in the lineup. Now, at the same time, there's a chance Harris cools off then, and there's a chance that Jared Kelnick's not hitting 350, and there's a chance that Travis isn't hitting 5 home runs at 8 at-bats. Yes, but it all evens out to the point where the offense still rolls along and cranks out big numbers.
You started with a series of, you know that, and I agree with everyone. You know that Ozzie will return. Yeah, Ozzie can come back. He's not injured that much. So all this stuff, you know that, and you're right on every one of them. I want to tack on one. You know that A-Train's going to add a pitcher on like July 29th or 30th. You know that.
I think it's got to be the right scenario. So I don't see him adding just depth to the rotation. So we'll do this thing where we'll start mentioning a bunch of names. I think if he adds, it's going to be a hammer at the top.
Verlander.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm Houston continues to not score.
They stink.
By the way, Yordan's not even hitting. Damn.
They stink. I'm going to obsess over Verlander for the next 3.5 months.
Well, not stink is a little.
Well, they stink. They're 7-17. They stink. Bunch of cheating, low life stinkers.
You got an Altuve like voodoo doll. You're just like
if I was
poking,
him,
just wanting them to lose. Just
I'd ask out if I'm Altuve. Let me go to a winning organization. I can't be around this anymore. But that's what could be on the horizon later on in the summer. We'll talk more Braves coming up when Domino's in here for 680 game day. Again, Ronaldo Lopez gets the ball tonight at 7:20. I will wish you all a very happy draft eve. Merry draft eve. We'll be at Harrah's tomorrow for the draft, which begins at 8. Bears will be on the clock. Now, they go on the clock at 8:15. I hope they don't do this thing where they draw it out for the 10 minutes. Maybe ESPN wants them to. But
don't worry about the clock.
I'm doing the math if the Falcons stay at number 8. They should make their pick about 9:45 to 10 o'clock. Somewhere in that window, if everybody uses the full 10.
Oh, no. Let me give you an over-under on this. Eighth pick of the draft goes at 9:15.
No. The other wrinkle is if there's a trade or two, the clock resets.
I understand. That be flying through.
Okay. I'm going to tell you we're going to be about 9:45. Now,
9:15 really works for me.
If they trade back... Well, then we got to stay around until the pick.
Okay, let me ask you.
And the craps table that I have my eyes on will have to wait, and that's just how it's going
to
be.
Okay, I think we need to establish some caps here, some ceilings.
No cap.
My question to you, because you just said they get to pick number 6, and I was like, we have a trade.
Mm-hmm.
2 picks from now. Y'all thought it was the Falcons. They'll be picking at 20 now. Matt's like, guess we got to hang around.
Sure.
All right, let's say.
We're professionals.
That they make... They make the pick at 8, and just as we're wrapping up, there's been a trade. The Falcons have acquired the 31st pick. Do we have to?
Yeah, we got to stay. Got to stick and stay, baby boy. This is the life we've chosen. We're not digging ditches over here. My good. We're sitting in the casino in a sports book.
I'm telling you, 9:15, they make the pick. I promise you.
I'm going to take the over. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to take
the over. Is
that
your prop for tomorrow?
Yeah, I feel like I'm going to win that one.
Chuck, also your Clippers are...
Oh, they lost last night. That was a...
Yeah, Luka'd.
And Kawhi came back.
No.
Damn.
It's okay.
That's fine.
So the Falcons are among the teams most likely to move, according to Todd McShay, the Todd father. He says the Falcons, the Bears, and the Chargers are the teams most likely to move. Who the hell knows? Now, Terry Fontenot addressed the media yesterday.
Up or down?
To move.
Okay.
They're all going to move. I would move. Those three would move down. There's no reason any of those three.
I told you. Are we paying attention?
They're not in the quarterback business. They're not moving up.
An Arthur Blank-owned team doesn't move down in the first round.
It has not.
Ever.
That's right. Doesn't mean it can't happen, but you're right. Here is Fontenot explaining to everyone the best player available philosophy that he lives by, but he wants to make it clear this is all about the Falcons' view of the best player.
When we talk about best player available, it's really it's best player available for us, right? Because I think sometimes when people hear best player available, they're looking at some of the experts' lists, right? When you talk about best player available, really you're talking about best player available for us, and the key is not reaching for needs.
This is all relative. Like, these terms, we all get it, right? Like, the Falcons' view of the best player available in 21 was Kyle. There's a chance that, I don't know, the Chargers looked at Penei Sewell if they were on the board at 4 and would have still taken him, right? The Falcons had other needs that they didn't want to reach for, but Penei Sewell went 7, just got G'd up today. Micah Parsons went 12, so the Falcons weren't alone in how they misevaluated Micah Parsons. But my issue has always been with the Falcons' best player available thing is I don't trust their scouting. I don't trust their ability to identify. Kyle's a wonderful player, but he was a luxury item then for a team that has specific needs mm-hmm. that they just want to pretend we're not going to reach for the need. That term, we throw these dumb terms around. That is an opinion to say you're reaching for a need. You could take the player at 4, 5, or 6. Somebody else might have had him at 9 or 10. Doesn't mean you're wrong. Doesn't mean you reached at all. Then they did it with Drake the following year, and I can make a claim that the other two receivers that went after him were better and are still better. And I like Drake. This comes from somebody who likes Drake. Garrett Wilson's better. And I think Chris Olave's a little bit better.
Let me say, probably.
And I like Drake.
And Bijan hit.
But I would have taken Jalen Carter was more important, more impactful.
For the three players they took, I think of Kyle as a rookie who hadn't never played, didn't know nothing about the NFL. He had competent professional quarterback play. And that's all Matt Ryan was that first year was it was still competent. We thought it was more than that. It was still good enough. Kyle had a good season. Didn't have a great season. Didn't know what he was doing. We talked about it. Did he run all of that route? Probably not.
The numbers looked fine. But there was no special to it.
But he was a rookie. So that's what it was. And they didn't have a really deep receiver core around him. So for these three picks, I'll give the Falcons credit. They paid full retail, which when you do 4, 8, and 8, that's what it is. They got the player they kind of thought that they were getting. And then Kyle's been injured. Last year he was really hurt. But they got the guy they thought in Drake. This is why who they thought they were getting at 8. I promise you. Bijan, they're over the moon about.
You're right, but if there are better players that are evaluated, and you evaluated them too and you didn't get them, you got it right, but you could have got it more right. And that's part of this process.
Yep.
Here's one more from Fontenot, who I don't believe him for a second when he was saying this, but he thinks if they had to play a game this week, they're ready to roll.
We feel like we could play now. We'd be excited to go play a game right now, regardless of where our team is. We do. We have a lot of confidence. It's not just about what you signed in free agency or the players you drafted high, but there's other players that could have been on our practice squad or could have not played as much last year that are really showing growth, because that's what it's all about.
I don't believe you. He can't be serious. When he doesn't have two starting caliber edges on the roster right now, and they don't have a starting caliber corner opposite of AJ, I keep sort of focusing on the ability to upgrade over Richie Grant's safety. They need more wide receiver depth. They need more offensive line depth. Today, as we sit here, and you don't have to play a game, today I can make a very strong claim they have a bottom 10 defense in the league talent-wise. So I know he's saying the thing you're supposed to say, and I guess that's what it is. He doesn't believe that. There's no way.
You were right about the way you said about AJ, a starter opposite him. You basically said we need a starter opposite Bates, and you're right about that as well.
They might stick with Richie Grant, but they could do better.
You're right, but it would be a starter opposite and a starter opposite. I would recharacterize the edge. I think they may need two starters. And I don't know if it's Calais coming back. I don't know what it is, but with what they have right now, if it's the most important thing to play in defense in the NFL and you need two of them, how do you pass on it at 8?
Get ready for Chuck and Chernoff's Worst Idea.
All righty, we've been taking your worst idea answers at the Harrah's Cherokee Casino's Twitter feed. The news that's just heartbreaking that Katy Perry is going to leave American Idol after 7 seasons and walking away from a $25 million annual salary.
Pile of cash. All she has to do is pick it up.
Now she wants to go back to making music. Now she also has a net worth of like $400 million, so she's okay. Yeah. So we asked you who should replace Katy on American Idol, but wrong answers only. Shane said Chuck Norris. Replace Katy Perry. We did ask for wrong answers only. Chris said Hip Hop Mandy, Amanda Schwartz, should replace Katy Perry. That's our social media director. Shane wants David Allen Coe. Said he's the only logical choice to replace. When it raised the age demographic a little bit on Idol. Alex wants Hoyt to do it. David wants Fab and Rob. One of them's gone. I think Fab's gone. Rob. Fab.
Rob's gone. To the family.
Rob's gone.
Cross him off then, Matt.
One guy wants you to do it.
I'm in.
Okay.
15 mil?
Nah, they won't pay you that much.
Oh, what will they pay me?
25 G's.
No.
Mark said Marilyn Manson.
He's on the ban list.
KO went with Flava Flav, and then a lot of you want William Hung, and yes, P. Diddy got some votes.
She bangs.
Bad timing off the P. Diddy thing right there, though. You didn't mark that one well. You didn't land it right after
no
I said.
No Diddy.
Yeah, no Diddy. That's okay. You guys.
That was with the William.
Yeah.
That was what he's saying.
Sure.
She bangs on.
Yep. Okay. Good. You guys can send your answers to the Harrah's Cherokee Casino's Twitter feed.
We all know Chuck has a lot of random thoughts throughout the show.
Why don't you have him cutting his penis off then, huh?
And Matt likes to tell crappy jokes no one understands.
We're looking for Uranus.
So now it's time to circle back on some stuff we didn't get to the bottom of. We now present to you Unfinished Business, presented by Zero FG Energy. Live free with Zero FG on Chuck and Chernoff.
All right, this is a portion of the show where we close up some loops that we have left open because we're pretty mediocre and just leave a lot of things.
Oh, loops everywhere.
Yeah, a lot of stones left unturned. Let me bring in one of the fine producers of this show. He's Brian Gephardt. Brian, what do we have here? What do we need to clean up?
So as we've talked about a lot on this show, last night Fried faced only 29 batters in a complete game shutout, 1 hour, 53 minutes. A lot of people considered that a Maddox, but our own Chris Domino did not.
Huh.
Take a listen.
I don't want to have a down-the-hall moment. I certainly don't want to be told to go down the hall. Here's the problem with America. This Maddox thing, it's less than 90 pitches.
It used to be. Now it's not.
When did we all of a sudden make it less than 100 pitches? Hmm. It's less than 90 pitches. You can keep it, do whatever you want. Max Fried, hey.
Oh, wow.
It was a great night. Just wasn't a Maddox.
Way to poo on it, Domino. Now, in my mind, it was always under 2 hours. Like, the pitches were under 100, but I always thought the two-hour mark.
Oh, I thought it was just a complete game shutout, just you, 99 pitches or fewer. I didn't know the time requirement.
Oh, I think the time was always a big thing because the Maddox was, it was an hour and 58. It was 2:07. But again, why is Domino pooing all over Max?
Huh. You know he was stewing on that, too, for a while because that was at, like, 12:30 in the show. So he was sitting on that for about 90 minutes on top of another 12 hours, and he just had to get it off his
chest. I used to be that way with the term walk-off. I didn't like it.
No? What?
Game winning.
Explain.
This
game,
is game winning.
Okay, but you walk right off the field.
Game winning.
You have to understand, and the people listening, sports talk hosts find the dumbest things to be bothered by. The term walk off bothered Chuck to the point where he had to bring it to the show.
Yeah.
He's like, I've got a show and I've got a microphone. I'm going to share with everybody why the term bothers me. Other than real life things, there's somebody working at a plant for 8 hours a day, and he's in he's just miserable, and he's tired, and Chuck's worried about the term walk-off.
Like, did you hate it from the get-go, or was there a particular
instance? Never understood. I thought it was silly. It's like, what do you mean walk-off? Like, it's a game-winning home run. We already have this one figured out. And then when I found out it was Dennis Eckersley who invented it, he's one of my favorite guys. I was like, oh, now I'm dilemmanized.
Don't argue with it. Just, that's fine. Just go with it. Is that it?
Yeah, that's all we got for
today. But we did well today then.
Mm-hmm.
How about that? Good for us.
Or you were just so behind that we didn't get to other stuff.
Colin, your attitude lately has not been something I'm very proud of. You've been very down, very short, got a temper on you. It's very Hoyt-like. Maybe that scene is turning you into that. Starting to see a trend play out right in front of us. Thank you, Brian Gephardt.
A lifetime of hard work. Children laughing in the kitchen. Family photos on a restaurant wall. A legacy that lives on. It all comes from the power of a conversation. Like the one Tommy Hall had with First Horizon Bank about taking over his father's Charleston-based restaurant business. Now the table is set for a whole new generation. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Tommy. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Marketing is everywhere. From the billboards on the highways to the notifications on your phone, we are constantly bombarded with people trying to sell us stuff. What makes good marketing? Are you doing enough in your life personally and professionally to market yourself? You have questions, and the Marketing Mad Men have answers. Search the Marketing Mad Men on Google or your favorite podcast provider to get practical marketing advice from expert guests who are shaping and reshaping the business world. They say marketing is a madman's game. Join the Marketing Mad Men every Saturday at 4 p.m. to find out why.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download the Fan app.
Marketing is everywhere. From the billboards on the highways to the notifications on your phone, we are constantly bombarded with people trying to sell us stuff. What makes good marketing? Are you doing enough in your life personally and professionally to market yourself? You have questions, and the Marketing Mad Men have answers. Search the Marketing Mad Men on Google or your favorite podcast provider to get practical marketing advice from expert guests who are shaping and reshaping the business world. They say marketing is a madman's game. Join the Marketing Mad Men every Saturday at 4 p.m. to find out why.
Tonight in Arkansas, there's a mother tucking in her daughter and turning off the light. A business owner is burning the midnight oil. An at-home dinner date is plating up possibility. And it's all happening under one roof. How? The power of a conversation, like the one John from Integrity Solutions had with First Horizon Bank about his vision for a sustainable mixed-use building. Now it's not just words, it's life. First Horizon Bank, let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/John. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Is there chaos in your closet?
Look, Blouse, you've got some nerve hanging there like that.
I can't help it. I'm jammed in here next to this suit.
Hey, I'm a three-piece, all right? Which means I need a little more room.
You've got a lot of attitude for a linen suit.
I'm a polyester blend, sweetheart, and there needs to be room for men's clothes, too.
Hi, I'm Christina, and at Artisan Custom Closets, we help families organize and simplify their closets with customized storage solutions. See what's possible for your home at artisancustomclosets.com, and then call us for a free in-home consultation.